Brought to you by Face to Face Games.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
You sound like Shatner.
Oh, jeez. I don't think I've ever sounded like Shatner.
It's been a while, Spock. Illogical, Captain. Illogical. Oh, yeah. Man. Well.
You even threw some notes in there real fast. Let me see.
I got a little notes. I got a little notes. Pretty shitty notes, but, you know, it is what it is. There's been so much that's happened. A lot of it isn't relevant anymore. So.
It's hard to say. I don't know. I mean, I don't even pay attention to a tenth of the drama that I guess happens these days.
Drama's at the last. That's our last segment of the evening. First segment of the evening is to welcome people in because you know that's what we do. So welcome, have a seat, enjoy the show. It isn't as regular as it used to be, but either are your bowel movements as you get older. So
that's where I wanted to go with this too.
Right? You just go straight off the bat, out the door, boom. You know, we're here. But, hey, let's talk awesome stuff because apparently, you know, as you get older, you not only become less frequent, you're also crabbier. I've been told. I've been told that you just don't like life as much. And there's been too much complaining, apparently. But it's Twitter, so what do you want, people? Like, it's all garbage. But let's talk exciting stuff because Dominaria... As you know, I'm on a casual journey right now. I'm far in the desert, away from tournament scenes.
Well, I mean, hey, this is very candid. How is the casual journey? What's going on in the casual
journey?
Oh,
my God. Okay, so I have not felt this much fun with Magic because there's no pressure. There's literally... one thing I can say is if you're on a journey and you've been in this game for a long, long time, right? You know, you've got Modern, Legacy, Vintage decks, whatever you're doing, if you're enjoying that, I would highly recommend taking a vacation from all that and just going back to the days of stupidness. Like, literally, I was laughing because my brother-in-law and my brother and a bunch of friends, we've been doing casual cubes, which is, you know, I've talked about it before. It's super, super casual. Like, we literally take all the lands out of the cube and we just draft stuff. And then we got a pile of land so you can draw from your deck or your land pile just so there's no mana screw. It's just all fun. And so it's great. I've been just filling the cube with all like awesome, just fun, crazy stuff. And it's just been awesome. Board states have been amazing. You get to draft really fun decks. I love it, man. I also like that now that I'm the cube expert, my draft experience is much different than the person, I guess, playing it. I'm not sure. Because what I try to do is I let them draft what I think they want, and I try to draft the really hard deck. Like, last time I was like, okay, I'm drafting the blue-red artifact deck that I know there's pieces in there for, and it all came together because they didn't get any of that stuff, right? So I'm like, oh, wow, last pick Hangerback Walker. I'm going to crush you guys. But here's the thing. We started to have a point where I want to make some type of experience that is really reminiscent of the beginnings of Magic, where like we first got in, what do? Ooh, an angel. I'll make an angel deck, or, you know, humans wasn't a thing back then, but it was dragons and shit. So I decided, well, we'll play the rounds of cube, and then whoever has the best deck, they should fight the horde. So we all know about the zombie horde deck, which is essentially just zombies, but I've done that for humans, planeswalker, gods, and zombies. So I have, like, these decks that, like, if you can beat the zombie deck, that's tier one. It's pretty easy to beat, unless you get card screwed. And then, you know, you got to fight the humans. And then if you beat the humans, you fight the planeswalkers. And if you beat them, you got to fight the gods. It's just, it's the most fun ever, man. These decks are, oh, it's just, and they're all singleton, like, just horde decks. It's just, like, one of every best human. So there's no curve, there's nothing to worry about. You just, hey, I like this human, that's cool. And so literally I went on Face and I ordered like, I don't know, 100 just jank garbage cards. I'm like, oh, that looks fun. And I just threw them in the cart for nothing. And we've been having a blast. So Oh man, I just can't say enough about it. It's changed me like so much, you know. It's great. I still watch coverage in that, but
do you think you guys will ever, you know, foray into let's say not necessarily Junk Limited, but you know, when I think of the beginnings of playing Magic with your friends, it's because your entire card pool was, you know, 3 starter decks and 5 booster packs, that kind of thing.
So, yeah.
I don't know. The theme deck idea definitely sounds fun. But I just love, like, man, I finally drew my one Sheevan Dragon. That is going to be the big difference here.
Well,
but if you're Singleton, it sounds like it's similar.
Yeah, it's very similar. It is. But here's the thing, right? When my brother-in-law, who used to play Magic like 10 years ago, when he married my sister, right? I was like, oh, I play Magic too. And he's like, oh, that's cool, but I don't really play anymore. So it's been a while. It's taken me like 3-4 years to, like, he's seen the cube and we played it at Christmas, you know, but he's like, I'm like, I'm making it better. It's more fun. So for my birthday, he bought me a box of Rivals of Ixalan. Cause he's like, I just bought the new set. And we busted that thing open and we just, you know, we're playing like, you know, just sealed rounds. Right. And we had a blast. So he's been bringing over like sealed product, just cheap stuff. And I keep telling him, like, you're wasting your money because we have a cube. And at first he's like, nah, it's fun. It's all the same. Right. But we played enough like garbage rounds of Ixalan and Amonkhet and all those crappy sets where it's kind of fun. But, you know, if I was drafting at an 8-man table of like high level draft people, it'd be a different experience. But casual people are really just, I like this. It looks cool. So there's a lot of missed synergies. There's a lot of missed signals. So you can't, I don't know. To me, I feel like it's a little, I don't know, it's not there. Maybe I'm wrong. But even we all realized, you play that, and then we're like, let's draft the cube. And I've got Liliana, Jace the Mind Sculptor, Cryptic Command, and I'm like, this is way much more fun. Like, so I think they're starting to realize power level. And they're seeing, they're like, wow, yeah, the cube is crazy. And, you know, that I'm like, guys, why are we wasting our money? Like, just save your money, and, you know, we'll draft the cube. And then that's why I built a Horde deck. So I'm like, they were interested in, like, well, we want to get cards of our own. You know, what do you suggest? And I'm like, just stop buying packs, because that's a waste of money. But I'm like, if you want to buy a box, we can draft it. At least we get fun, and then you guys can have all the cards, because I don't need anything. But I don't know if that's that exciting for them. So I looked at picking up the Commander boxes, too. That we might do that next. But Horde Magic is so much fun. I really like it. And Dominaria looks, like, insane. I'm sorry.
It seems like it's firing on all cylinders.
And we were worried. And here's the funny thing. It doesn't have anything old. Like, where's my old frames? They're not there. All the things that we said it had to have, it doesn't have, yet it still is pretty damn good, which, you know, I nod my hat. I'm like, you guys did pretty good, man. The art is out of this world. The flavor is there. It's all there. It's just, man, they could have done a few, especially with those sagas, man. I told Proxy Guy, mock that up in old school look, and they look, God damn, they look so good. I just wish they had done a few little touches. Just here and there. Little old school touches.
It is interesting. You know, talking with Aaron Forsythe, you know, he kind of bemoans a lot of what happened with Time Spiral and how if it was, you know, if you weren't playing for 10, 15 years when that set came out, you just weren't part of the in crowd. And so I knew they weren't going to go that deep on this set, but I was a little disappointed there weren't a few more gems in there, and maybe there's going to be some more subtle.
We got one more week of spoilers, so.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cute if more of the comments, but yeah, at the same time, like, I'm not trying to poke holes in the whole thing. It does have that kind of, you know, ooh, if I saw this when I was, you know, 10 to 13 years old for the very first time, and this was my first introduction to Magic, I think it would have that kind of same impact. I mean, again, the art looks amazing. It has those kind of basic fantasy elements. It's not, you know, weird pirate dinosaur thing. It's not, you know, it's that classical, magical feel to it. And, exactly. And the way the cards appear to interact on the surface.
Exactly. I was just going to say, like, coming off the Pirates and Dinosaur world, this feels like Magic again. And I know a few people have made that comment. Wedge has made this comment, like, this is the return. This is the anniversary. This feels like what we wanted out of M25. And, like, this is what we kind of want. And it's kind of interesting that Magic's been, like, throwing, you know, whatever at the wall and seeing what sticks. And it's like, dudes, this is the formula right here. This is it. This is Magic, man. They nailed it. I'm super impressed. I don't know about Limited. I can't tell yet if this set's going to be any good in that. But the Legendary stuff looks unreal. For, like, Mr. Casual over here now that's, like, just looking for cards to throw in the cube and some of the decks and just fun, there's, like, 25, maybe 30 cards I'm just going to order because I'm like, this looks nuts, right? This looks cool. And I have to say, if you're a new player and you're looking at this set and you've never played Magic, I don't necessarily think it's going to do... It's like the Magic set for you. Although some would argue whatever Magic set you open first is your Magic set. So, right?
Oh, I don't, no. I mean, imagine starting so many times where it's like
a Fallen Empire? Yeah.
I mean, that's still kind of had.
That was garbage. Dude, I'll say this. On my street, I got in at just around the revised time. And then by the time I convinced the other little boys on my street, I'm like, okay, guys, we're all going to get in this. Let's play. Right, it was like Fallen Empires time. So I remember they were like, oh, I bought a box of Fallen Empires. And they were like, this is kind of ugly looking. And like, it was very hard to convince people that Magic was good. Like, that was hard. I'm like, the white border cards, those look great. Like, so it was funny that, when we started, everyone was trying to look for white border cards, which is so bad. But, that's what it was because it was the simple base flavor stuff. So we got a Corsa coming, I think, this summer?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like middle of July. Middle of July.
Man, so many products. That'll be very exciting. But what do you think of Dominaria overall? We both seem to love the flavor. I think that's just home run for me.
Yeah. No. I could live with or without a framing difference. I've never been a guy that's like, ooh, frames.
Yes, but the frames. Okay. I like the idea. I think they just missed the execution. The little scroll work at the top looks like a shop class thing to me. It needed like some filigree in there, something that makes it look legendary. I don't know.
I think the only defense that you actually need for the framing difference, and this kind of goes back to Kamigawa a little bit, was you had a set where you made such a big deal out of legendary, mm-hmm. but legends became kind of innocuous. So now that the fact that they can be uncommon, they're going to be in a game of limited, but they stand out enough to know, what counts and what doesn't count, I think is really what matters here.
Visual identifier is all you care about.
Yeah, with that in mind, it's like, oh, okay, it makes sense. Like if I'm going to I can only cast this spell where it's going to, just trigger things that are legendary or legendary things, cause things to trigger, et cetera, et cetera. They do need a defining marker, and this one is not too intrusive, and it's fine. Yeah, again, like I'm not like, oh, this is so great. They're gonna do this for every card type in the future. It's gonna look so different. Or
you and me are so different because that's exactly the way I am. That person, I'm like, oh man, how is this gonna look? I can't wait to see some foil. Like, I do hope these legendaries. I hope there's something little in the foil, like in that top scroll work. If it's so plain right now, we got it flat, but like. If the foiling is a little sharper up there or something when we see, it could look really good. But I'm just dying to see this.
To chance to dream for Maddie. That's exactly. The kind of thing exactly. you're into. And I don't think they don't go that deep, I feel like.
Oh, they got to start going deeper, man.
Beyond that, I mean, like the mechanics you decide to bring back are the best, the in terms of limited and just kind of simplicity for Magic. Like Kicker is always the best thing to have around for someone that has extra mana. Initially, Sagas, I felt like they were going to be stupid.
Let's talk Sagas because I was sure. I was 100% sure these were going to be like meh. I think these are really damn powerful. Like, they're almost like mini time bombs, or they're like planeswalkers, right? Like, you play them, and they're going to do something regardless. You've put your investment in. So, yes, it's hard to, time everything to go off perfectly at third, but just for the value? Like, History of Benalia? That's crazy. To me, that's just, what do you need to time about that? Put it on the table. Boom, let's start smashing.
Right. I mean, in terms of the spike players of the community, you're looking at this as, I'm only guaranteed, step one. And is everything costed at step one worth having? And the thing is that generally, especially in limited, all the stuff for step one that's costed, you're getting some value out of it. So anything beyond that is kind of additional value with this like reverse fading kind of vanishing effects exactly. going on. So it's all, and the artwork is cool. The fact that it's different.
all that stuff works for me. So I thought it was going to be so stupid, but like, you know, Time of Ice, like that's a card I would really enjoy trying to tinker with, or
Fall of Thran, one that, very interesting.
Yeah,
a little overpossed, but like really cool.
The Antiquities War one kind of made me roll my eyes a little bit, but it wasn't that bad.
The problem is, like, a lot of these are really huge story moments. I know you're like, who cares? But like, for the Vorthos people, like, how do you sum that up? So I think they have actually done a great job of telling a story just in three sentences. That is what I'm most impressed about these entire saga series. Like, they actually do feel like they are part of some of these gigantic lore stories. So I'm like, that really impresses me. I know the history. That's awesome. The art is like, man, fantastic. So I don't know. I hope that these see tournament play, because I think they are cool. I'm very curious to see how these are going to work on Magic Online.
Oh, they're not that bad. I mean, things trigger right after your draw step.
I know. I'm just visually like, are they going to have like a card with a? They'll probably do it really crappy. And Arena too. I'm curious to see. But we'll talk about Arena. We'll talk about Arena in a bit. We're not going to go there yet. But let's.
No. To keep on Dominaria. Yeah, sagas worked for me. The artwork worked for me. This whole, you know, the Weatherlights crew thing. Like, I'm not the Vorthos guy. I didn't read all the books, but that still, it looks cool. Like, you know, I've been playing Magic long enough that I can remember the Weatherlight as like a thing that we'd probably never see. But then now it's actually
got a vehicle.
20 years later,
they did it.
It's not bad. It's not. It doesn't cost like 8 million mana for like a 2/9 or something stupid. The Karn actually looks really good.
Karn looks very cool.
And there are some decent callbacks, like the goblin cards they put in there are good.
What about the Demon Lord? Let's talk Demon Lord Belzanach for a second, because you know we've had Grizzlebrand. He's the king. He's the king demon. He's great. Cube every format. He's just fantastic. And I've been waiting for one of these four demons to do something, because the other two that we've seen so far have been like, I don't even remember what they look like. They're just not playable. This guy looks interesting. 6 mana, 6/6 flying trample already. Okay, all right. We got the bases covered, and then he starts flipping me cards. I don't know. I don't know where this goes. Maybe it's in EDH card only, but
yeah, it feels like it is. I don't know. I was actually having a conversation about this card at FNM where it's like, take any deck you've ever played, and then just like, you know, pull cards off the top of your library and do this effect. Like, what do you get? You get like one or two cards. I mean, okay, that's not bad.
Not bad, dude. That's, at the end of the game, he's your last card in your hand. You're like, okay, I need gas. And it's like, oh, 2 life, 2 cards? That's crazy good. And in Cube, this guy sounds pretty amazing. It's an Enter the Battlefield ability, too. That's what's crazy. So you can reanimate him, flip him. I don't know. This guy feels really cool. I'm definitely going to try to play this. But I could be wrong. There's a lot of good cards for Cube, so.
So, like, for this card to be most effective, you would almost need, like, a bunch of alternative casting cost pitch cards. Like, it's just, it's definitely, I feel like it's designed in a way that it can't really be abused, which is the way Magic cards are supposed to be.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You gotta break them, otherwise it's not fun.
I will definitely eat crow on this if someone builds the ultimate deck where you just draw your entire library off of this and just go to murder town, but I don't think that's gonna happen. Do they even go into the graveyard for the cards that
no the exile
no that's so no
you
good
can't
either.
You can't
yeah
yeah no, anyway it's an interesting card. I think that one is very interesting. Let's talk about the card that when it was first spoiled in the pre-spoiler or the unofficial spoiler from Wizards, Mox Amber. We got another Mox. You said this thing was interesting. I don't know. I think this card's a trap. This card feels like it looks cool. Legendary Mox, you know, it's like add one mechanic out of any color of a legendary creature and planeswalker. At first I thought this was add one mana, but only use it for those two types, which would be way better. Now this is like it's dead unless I have one of those. I don't know.
Look at Mox. The Mox trend from the last 8 years has been... I guess you can go all the way back.
Make them worse, yes.
They've been trying to make them worse by stipulating them, by, you know, requiring additional resources on them.
This feels too restricted to me. They could have loosened the screws a bit. But maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, having three artifacts in play and having it count itself is a lot easier than, okay, have a legendary creature or planeswalker in play. But if you recall from the strategies that make Mox Opal good, the strategies that makes Mox Amber good will find themselves. So on the surface, you look at Mox Opal and you're like, eh, I don't know if that's going to happen at a fast enough speed for me to be happy about it. And clearly, the robot deck has proven that it is, and so perhaps there's a deck, and I assume...
If we have zero cost and cost, like, legendaries? Like, to me, if they had just put one more card type, maybe we needed legendary land. To me, like, this is a late-stage ramp. Like, I don't know. Unless we get one-mana ramp legendary elf, so I can play my elf next turn, I can play this, but I doubt we're going to get that. Like, to me, it's just weird. I'm sure in EDH this is a snap. Sure, like, I get that. And if that's what they wanted to do, that's fine.
I mean, I didn't think they were going to bring back Land of War Elves anytime soon, so...
Oh, can I... We didn't even do our great designer search question from 2 months ago where we just stopped casting. Where one of the questions that they asked was it Lightning Bolt or a Mana Elf, which was safer to bring back? And people were like, it has to be Lightning Bolt because you can't bring Mana Elves. You said clearly that you can't do it. And then they go and freaking do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I did listen to the Rosewater podcast where he did the question breakdowns, which was very entertaining if you were somebody that either took the test or just want to know the thought process behind making Magic cards these days. It's almost a better listen to than actually just taking the test itself to try to understand where Magic's at right now. Because I felt very similarly. Now, I can remember, like Shards Standard, how pretty much any deck that almost touched red, which was pretty much every single deck, would have 4 Lightning Bolt in it, and how that definitely affected the format. But yes, Rosewater did say very clearly when we lost Llanowar Elves, and I don't even know what POS we got to replace it initially. The odds of Llanowar Elves coming
two
back.
Mana. It was the dumb 2-mana elf. Literally just a 2-mana elf. And then it was Sylvan Scryet or whatever, that like hexproof 031 wall.
Oh, right?
And then we got...
Keratid from...
Keratid, that's it. And then we just got a bunch of variations of the 2-mana elf. The fact that we went back to 1, in my opinion, I think... the ramping factor, in my opinion, is more limiting in some ways than a Lightning Bolt. Go fight me on Twitter if you want, but like, if you think about the fact that if you are running green, you're running the ramp, right? Most, I would say in every deck in standard, at least if you've got that ability, you're doing it. And then to give you a 3-drop super 4/5 unblockable elf knight, like, wow, that's crazy. Why not bring Lightning Bolt back? In my opinion, in that scenario, I can't even kill your 3-drop or your 2-drop, cause it's a 4/5. Come on, man. I don't know.
I don't think it's the same exactly. I mean, I think what it is the Lightning Bolt kind of sets a certain metric for a standard environment where it's like, well, if you're going to want to play Magic, your guy has to have 4 toughness. Where Llanowar Elves just kind of says, bigger guys will be coming out earlier, or bigger, better spells will be cast earlier in the game, which is a little broader. And honestly, if you look at it, if the quality of the overall spells is lower, then yeah, sure, Llanowar Elves is fine.
Yeah, except they're not giving you that. Here's the thing: from the guy that used to play turn 1 elf, turn 2 sword, equip smash, like that was the jam back in the day, right? Like I'm all about 4 or 8 elves, mana dorks, birds, hierarchs, elf. That's what I do, man. Green machine. So to me, I've watched my opponent's face. Turn 1 elf, they're like, come on, man. I'm like, dude, I got 12. I'm always going to have this. And it's just, I literally play an unfair game if they don't have a sweeper. So to me, the Lightning Bolt is like, yes, we're going to 1-for-1 trade. You're going to trade one of my cards for one of your cards. But the ramp feels very unfair to me. And that's just my opinion. I think Standard should have Elves and Lightning Bolts in the same format. I think it's fine. But, I don't know, the Elf feels more powerful.
Interesting. You've taken a very me stance on this. For this probably. Whole, like, bring back all the old cards. We'll deal with it. Don't worry about it.
Well, I don't know. Standard to me right now looks really dismal. Well, not dismal in terms of like card quality. I just feel like a lot of people are burnt out on it. I think they're burnt, period, on the format and don't want to come back. A lot of the stores I've seen, just the campfire standard, man. Everyone wants to play everything else because people don't want to invest in decks and have them banned. So if you're going to juice standard and get people back, Wizards, give them something, man. I'm glad to see FNM stuff return. Also, some of that new FNM artwork for Atlanta War Elves, and there was a couple other cards I saw. Some black Doomblade kind of spell for legendaries. Those were really great. Artwork looks awesome. I think they're picking better cards. Glad to see that back. I just wish they would learn their lesson and stop taking things away. Try adding things for people.
Oh, I mean, it's that whole, like, well, we got to keep the infinite staircase. We can't, you know, escalate the power level. And then when you have to scale it back, you get your Kamigawas and your Mercadian masks of the world. So instead, we're just going to, you know, keep moving it around as to, this is the top of the heap and this is the bottom.
You know, I had this discussion with someone and we came up with a very interesting idea, which is, we understand that. So the standard environment needs to go in that infinite staircase. But what they should do is they should have their supplement products around the low point in standard be super intense. So the idea is, as people are getting off on the low point, they have something else to keep them engaged. So kind of like make sure that the opposite format, whether it's modern or whatever, when the power level goes down, make sure that you're offering them something in the other realm. And then, when the power level's high, maybe there's more cards bleeding into modern, so you don't need to push modern as much because they're getting their modern hype out of standard. I think they need to play more with that instead of just relying on the one-trick standard pony for everything. Now, again, it's obvious they are expanding products, so.
I feel like the issue there is that Magic players will just continue to, point the finger. Well, they'll just be pissed that it's like, whoa, standard's so bad. Standard's even worse now that you're telling me this, you know, supplemental modern event deck is so much better. Like, oh, God, well, clearly Wizard doesn't know what they're doing. It's like none of them want to look 6 months into the future because none of them have ever had to do that. Anyone that's complaining on the internet doesn't understand how a mortgage works. So it's like they have no fucking idea.
I will agree with that. And I will also agree that you should have more casual in your life because then you stop to think that way. Like, I notice I've definitely stopped thinking so much about shitting on everything because I'm like, who cares? To me, it's like, this card is banned. Who cares? I have my foil and it's in the cube. Like, a lot of stuff I think
I exist more in that world than you realize. I mean, like, the amount of competitive Magic I've been playing for the last about 3 years. It's pretty much just draft or sealed.
Yeah, you're draft. It's like you're draft, man.
Anytime someone's complaining about the ban list, or anytime someone's complaining about, oh, this card is totally dominating, they should have done this. It's like, yeah, all right, whatever. Whatever. It's gonna be gone. We're gonna move on.
Like I said, I like draft. I just feel like for me, if you play a cube, I feel it spoils you, man. I just do, because you're like, why? I want to draft power, man. I want to draft the best of the best. I want to draft a 15-15 spaghetti monster. Like, what do you got in your dinosaur set? Oh, that sucks. I don't know, man. I get draft. I get who it's for, and I love it. Like, you love it is great. Like, and maybe I'll get to a point where I'm burnt out on cube because, like, dude, now you've played it enough. You know, and then I'll be looking for the next thing, which people can complain all they want that Magic offers a lot of different stuff. And every time there's a new format or something like whatever this Commander fucking Battle Brigade, whatever, Brawl, that's it. Another format and people crapped all over it, which made me laugh. I must say, to all the people who attacked Frontier, I had a good laugh. I had a really, really good laugh when everyone, all the Commander players, attacked Brawl. Oh, that was funny. That was really funny. Because you all don't get it. The more formats out there are better. Because not everyone is going to like every format one time. So the fact that you guys all attacked it, that was funny. I think it's a cool format and it looks fun to me. And if people are playing it, what's wrong with that? But we're getting sidetracked.
I think the release notes or whatever it was, it laid it out kind of perfectly, where Wizards was like, yeah, Commander's all fine and good, but we don't have enough control over the cards that get printed, the availability of them, and so on and so forth. There's all these things for Commander, you know, sure. Dual lands, cough.
And you want to remember this. This is funny. One of the very first episodes of Heavy Meta, I said this, or Kevy, I think we had an argument on this, which is, why is when they release a standard set, 90% of the cards are garbage. They're just draft cards. And our argument was, like, we need more cards for Standard and Modern. And now it's like, or at the time, even me and Marcel, we were trying to make up Guild Wars. We were trying to make up formats to use all these dumb cards. And then Commander came along and used a bit of them. But I think Brawl's actually super smart. You can say it's a money grab all you want. It's really goddamn smart when you think about it. New player comes in a Standard, plays Standard, has a bunch of random one-ofs. Oh, here's a format to use all these cards that don't go in Commander or Modern. That's great. So you're going to get those people that don't want to pay a lot of money but still want to have a casual experience and only want to be able to buy one of each card, because a lot of people view that as more affordable. So I think that's great. You can say whatever you want, that it's trying to sell packs.
Well,
I think it's more making use of the cards you're going to end up with in a box.
That's a very nice way of putting it, because spoiler alert, Magic the Gathering
needs to make money.
Like, all these people out there, they're like, oh, they're making formats to get me to buy cards. It's like, yes, they are. Congratulations.
I thought it ran on crystals now, or whatever the hell they're selling us in.
So Brawl, you know, what's really going to push it over the top is when stores and event coordinators start, you know, sanctioning it, supporting it, and harboring it, which is going to be instantaneous because there's no reason not to, those guys.
Also, sorry to interrupt you. Here's the other one that a lot of people just didn't get out of the gate. Brawl is an actual way easier format to put on Arena than Standard. If you've ever, and I don't want to get, well, maybe we might get into the Arena thing, but the whole Arena thing, if you've tried to go through it now, everyone is frustrated, economy is trash, people feel like, I can't build a Standard deck.
Wow, that happened.
Yeah, well, duh. I played the beta, couldn't talk about it, but that's exactly what everyone complained about. And, by the way, now that I can speak about it, they had way better rewards in the beta, but they took them down because they want to make money. So, I like Brawl in Arena a lot. It's open a bunch of packs, make a bunch of random one-of junk. That's good, right? Standard is actually incredibly hard to collect a deck on Arena. And if it keeps getting this much negative press, they're going to change it and give you more rewards. But in the end, it's just not Magic Online. You can't just go, hey, order deck. 2 seconds later, I'm playing it. And until I don't think they're ever going to do that, because that's not what Arena is. So I don't know. I think Brawl is very interesting because I would play Brawl in Arena. That sounds fun. I would not want to try to build a Standard deck in Arena. That sounds like a nightmare. Although building Standard deck and paper, I'm not interested in either, so there you go.
I think you're starting to understand what Arena is meant for. I mean, you're kind of, you know, begrudgingly drawing
it's
within
duels,
the lines.
Man. No, come on, dude. From day one, I said it's Duels 2.0. That's what it is. I never thought it was a Magic Go replacement. I've very clearly said that a million times. It's not going to be as much as you want to. And if you listen to all the streamers, most of them were like, I don't want to stream this, right? In a competitive environment, this is not fun. If I'm goofing around on my iPad, I'm sure it's really nice for the user. I don't know if it's visually that entertaining to follow the complexity of Magic. It looks just too much noise on the screen, but I'm an old man, so don't listen to me. Go play
ball. Well, you know, hearing more, learning more about just like how they, again, like even in the Rosewater information where he's talking about how they design cards now, and in the design process, they're talking about, oh, well, is this card going to lead to a situation which is going to make a feature match in a stream, you know, too complex or go too long or end in a draw for whatever factor. Like it's kind of crazy to think like.
So do you think that's the dumbing down of Magic in the new
world? I don't think that's the dumbing down of Magic. That's a trap phrase. That's like,
I know it is. That's why I said it, dude.
Yeah, that's the Make America Great Again of Magic the Gathering. You're dumbing the game down. It's like, no, we're just no longer printing cards that have a paragraph of 6-point font on them that may or may not cause you to play a sub game or adjust the rules where everyone turns their creatures face down and then their power becomes their toughness and their toughness becomes their power, but they can only attack on Wednesdays.
You're making Saffron Olive cry right now, but
that's a stupid argument. But if you look at all these things together at once, which also Magic players have a hard time doing,
you can see that, of course, Arena was built exactly the way it's supposed to be built, and they're going to put all their marketing to it because you don't have the issues that you have with regular Magic, and regular Magic is really, at the end of the day, not a spectator sport. We cannot change that, so we're going to make something flashy and exciting and visually popping and as Hearthstone-y as possible to get people involved, and then shockingly, we're going to start making formats that are easier to have on that platform. Now, again, you know, the sky is falling Chicken Littles of the world are going to be like, that's going to destroy Magic, and I can't believe you're going to get behind them and have them do that. That's fucking terrible. It's like, no. The regular game will still be there. It just exists the same way it always has because that's where it functions. It's not impossible, but in 2018, it's still not easy to port it over to any kind of visual exciting medium, no matter how many, you know, commercial show break segments you try to make during the day.
Agreed. I would even say that the schism that is going to happen eventually is more likely than Magic being put on Arena completely, which will be the divergent of the platform. Arena and Digital Magic will be an entirely new Magic. Just like when they announced Planeswalker Frames and new things, they're eventually going to get to a point where, like, we're breaking it. We are going to design sets only for Arena. And then and I could hear Mark Rosewater now, or Aaron Forsyth. We've figured out the fact that, you know, Arena, to leverage what the power of the platform, we need to design cards in a certain way that paper just can't do. And we're going to allow the collectability and the nostalgia of paper to exist, and we're going to just have the two sets and have the two divisions completely separate. That would be the smartest thing they could do, in my opinion. It separates the audiences, but it allows a bridge of the shared universe, right? Hey, you like Magic and Arena? Want to come play the paper game? It's more advanced, and there's a collectible aspect to it. I think that's, to me, that's the way it should be from day one. I understand why they did it this way, because they want to capture the audience as large as possible first. But I guarantee you, calling it now, the day they have that audience where it breaks a certain financial point for them, they're like, let's diverge the fucker. Because then imagine what they could do on Arena. They could go nuts. And their development on that side of things is so fast versus paper. So I don't know, man. I think that's the future of it. I think that would be the best solution, in my opinion. You could have tiers. You could have age groups. Ugh, you could do so much, man. You could have your core set, which is super simple Magic, right? Like what you were saying. And then you if you want, you design your crazy 4-point font cards for paper and let people go nuts.
I mean, just imagine a world, and this is not that far off. Imagine a world where you run into someone who's like, Magic? Oh, yeah, I play that all the time. And you're like, oh, really? Like, oh, what's your deck? Oh, what's your color? Like, all the conversations that beginners have, or just, you know, random people. And they're like, oh, it's here. It's here on my iPod. Here's my collection. And they're like, oh, that's just, and you as a seasoned Magic player, just, well, that's just Arena. I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? That's the Magic I play. Oh, you play the cardboard stuff? Mm. Oh, I hear that's way too complicated. Oh, I hear that. Oh, that's way too time consuming. Like, oh, I don't know how you find time to go do that. Oh, I wouldn't want to tie up all my money in that. Like, I think if the product worked the way they'd want it to, they would capture such that new audience with this product that they would just be, they'd all play within their own little sandbox.
Exactly. And then they can focus on all the things that paper Magic that really it needs. Have some type of collectability. As much as people hate that, I feel that's really, really, really important. I don't like $1 million cards, but I think the collectability of the game is important. I think they should really address the paper issue. Man, the card quality has got to be fixed. I don't want to harp on it because everyone does, but man. The box of Ixalan we opened, the entire last stack of packs was entirely miscut. I don't know if they're worth money or not. Maybe they are. But I'm talking horribly miscut. Like just garbage. And ink smears. Ugh. I was like, wow, dude. Imagine paying like $30 for that draft and that's what you walked away with. You'd throw the cards in the garbage. Ugh. Anyways, I don't want to get on that. Let's stay on positive stuff because I get too many DMs. Well,
did you have anything else to say about Arena? Because the floor is yours if you want to try to. Because, I haven't even sniffed it.
Okay, well, this is crazy to me because you were the Hearthstone guy. So I find this so bizarre that you're not playing what would be, in my mind, the perfect game for you. You love Hearthstone. You can play Magic for essentially free. Why? I don't understand why you don't. You know,
because it's not Magic the Gathering. I know what Magic the Gathering is. I play Magic the Gathering.
Okay, see, now you're an oxymoron. You said you don't care about the art on the cards, what it looks like, So if they offered you draft on Arena, you're not interested. You'd
can
still
you,
pay
can
for
you draft. Can you draft on Arena currently?
Not yet, no.
Ah.
But it's coming.
I can draft in Hearthstone.
Right, but what's the difference? To me, I'm just trying to say, like, the IPO you like is Magic, and they have a Hearthstone clan. Why aren't you playing it? Yeah, exactly. He just yawns the mic.
I just yawned to that.
So I understand. I hear you. And it's the same reason I do. It's not finished. So the reason I, like, kind of put it to the bed for now is there's too many things going on with it that the economy isn't fixed. Hopefully they'll get there soon. But it's just not interesting. I'd rather open the cube, right? In my opinion, I'd rather just gem horde decks against cube drafts all day long. But Arena is just not there. We'll see if it gets there soon, but whatever. But speaking of other horrible failures of the year, let's talk about Magic 25, because that was the last big thing we talked about. And wow. What happened? They need to have someone. Actually, I think a proxy guy forwarded me something on Twitter that they were looking to hire someone who would develop products specifically, which is like literally tailored for me. And I'm like, wow, someone needs to be like, okay, what are you guys putting in Arena? Okay, is that what you're putting in there? Oh, okay, well, here's the thing. The expectation of the player base out there is that this is the 25th anniversary. You know, we kind of got to put things that aren't trees in there. Dude, that was a fail.
One tree spoils the whole batch.
One
and
tree?
I
oh, come on.
I don't
it was
know
more
if,
than
uh,
one tree. It was more than one
I,
tree.
I don't know if Morrow did a blog post or if he'll do a podcast. I know that the tree thing was mildly addressed. Probably not fully addressed to everyone's liking. But
no, because they're not going to admit their mistakes. Right? You know that. My big thing about Magic 25 is this. For Magic 20, they failed. This is 5 years ago, right? We got our From the Vault 20, which was like, meh. And we're like, dude, it's the 20th anniversary. So everyone was like, okay, it's 5 years later. This is the 25th anniversary. Blow our minds. Give us a Jace the Mind Sculptor with new art at minimum. I don't know. Something. Like, to me, all these people saying that they wanted, you know, Snapcaster, Lily, all like, for value. Yeah, sure. But, you know, I understand you can only put so much money into the set. I do think, though, that they failed in the number one area, which was, if this is the 25th anniversary set, it's Innistrad. Where's Spider Spawning? Right? Where's a Werewolf card? I don't care if it's hard to do. It's the 25th anniversary set. Put the cards that were Lingering Souls. Like, I want the stuff from the blocks that I played that were exciting. I get everyone plays different cards, but there were very clear cards, probably a set of like 10 cards, I would say 85% of the player base would agree that, yes, that card is associated with that set. And all the time, it's not the most expensive one. But there were clear misses. Like the tree, absolute miss. Mayor of Averbrook, cheaper card, and it would have been more, I don't know, reminiscent of the set to me.
Ah, so, then you got to have a flip card in there.
Why not? Why not? It's the 25th anniversary. I think they are moving towards an area where they are treating these premium sets like, eh. They're just another thing to make now, and they don't put the time and effort into them anymore. And it shows. And people are just like, I'm not paying $10 for that. In Canada, those are $15 packs, by the way. We get so screwed up here. So, you know,
I
those
mean,
are
but
just
is,
crazy.
Is anyone being charged that, and is anyone
yes,
actually paying 100%. That?
Okay, yep. Right. For Christmas, I bought a bunch of prize packs for our cube brands, and I paid $15. I paid $20 a pack for Modern For Modern Masters, Modern Masters 2017, which was really...
All right, well, that's not quite the same. So I was going to say, around the release time of...
But I paid $15 for Iconic Masters, like an idiot. But it was Christmas, and they were charging everybody a lot. My point is, though, that those sets are expensive. So, I don't know. Don't open packs, man. Right? That's just
well, okay. I mean, to try to... Again, you're surprisingly not wrong on any of these things. It is a little out of control right now. To try to put some perspective on it, I guess, I would say that the teams that they have had working on these things up until now have been focused on things like the limited environment, because if the limited environment doesn't work, that was the only metric to tell Wizards that a set didn't work in terms of recurring opening for a long time. Sure. And clearly the player base has gone a very different direction now. And
they're way too focused on Unlimited, in my opinion. Also, actually, I'll say this. Did you draft any of those sets? Did you draft Iconic Masters and Master 25?
I haven't drafted Iconic Masters, but I actually kind of want to draft Iconic Masters. The last Masters set I drafted was
2017, probably.
Masters 2, the Mastering, whatever.
So 2015.
I guess. Is that how we track these things anymore? I don't fucking know.
They're by year, I think. So.
Yeah.
My point is, what I'm trying to say is, you're not even doing it because you know it's not good value. And you know that the draft environment is not even that good.
Well, okay, but again, my bias is that I'm never going to open a card in that where it's like, oh, I've never seen this before, this is brand new to me, and I need it for my collection or my deck or anything. Like, my whole problem with Master Sets from where I sit as a player,
yeah, you don't need it.
Is that there's literally nothing for me. And so the only way a player like me is gonna open any of that product is if it is the draft environment is something that's enticing to me. And I said this before, and I still stand behind Masters 25, that it was like a collection of limited interactions that were reminiscent of bygone times and exciting to me as a Magic player. Again, with that said, I understand people's frustration.
But you understand, though, that if you're building that set, that's not a premium set and should not be $10 back. That's a regular price set.
And that's what I'm saying. I understand people's frustration with it because they look at the price tag and they're not looking at the price tag as ooh, this is a super exciting set for me to play I haven't played before.
It's not even
they're looking at it as, man, did you see the cost of these things? Yeah. I can't believe I got to pay $10 to have this quirky fun draft experience. If at the end of the day, I'm going to open a fucking Ryusei dragon or something.
You're way back there. You're going back to the dragon. You're right. It's junk. So what I'm trying to say is, like, either they have to increase the value in the sets to the point where it's worth it. Or, again, I think they should just diverge it. I did a Twitter poll. It was actually pretty even where people thought this idea I'm about to tell you was bad. And other people thought it was great, which is I think they should just cut Master Sets in half, cut all the draft stuff into a $2 or $1 pack where you just get commons and uncommons and maybe jank rares, and it's super hyper draft. It's all draft synergies. It's you know, that's what it is. And then take a 30 to 50 card, all the mythic rares, whatever the hell is expensive, and put it in a thing and charge $100 for it. And I think player expectation would be 100% spot on. I walk in, I want those cards. Oh, I want the limited environment. That, to me, is smart. I get that that breaks the mold for a lot of people, but I just don't believe we can go forward with this smashing the two together, because the people that just want the reprints are paying for it. And that, I don't know. I don't think anyone drafts these sets, man. Besides the first weekend as a novelty, they fall off real quick. So, I don't know. Wouldn't a game store like a set that had $1 packs? Like, a new player walks in and they're like, all right, what's this Magic all about? You're like, dude, here you go. Here's five $1 packs. Go sit down and draft at the new table. That, to me, seems really good, right? I don't know. And then they can bridge their way into Standard from there, but I don't know. Maybe even just $3.99 packs, whatever. I just feel like they're running out of time, and the next set we get, whatever it's going to be, probably Legendary Masters, I would imagine. Actually, I'll call that right now. We're probably, the next Master set will just be about Commander stuff or Legendaries, because we're coming to this. It's going to be perfect. But, you know, what can you put in there? At some point, it's not draftable. It's just a bunch of random reprints. So, I don't know.
Like I said, it makes sense that they're going to effectively add somebody to the staff that is...
That's what they say they're doing. Well, they said they said that they were going to balance Standard, so let's see if that works. I'm just a little skeptical that, like, they keep hiring these people, but the results are going the opposite way. So, you know, again, maybe it's a management structure that's the problem. I don't know, but a lot of products, guys. A lot of products. Oh, also this, just for all those people that were like, oh, yeah, we're getting Challenger decks. They're going to solve Standard. They're going to make Standard cheap. They're amazing. Yeah, each game started getting like a case, so that kind of failed. Also, when you print them at the last end of the Standard, the excitement's gone. So, I don't know if they're going to do the job, guys. I was a little skeptical at first. I get the concept of it a lot. Like, I think it's interesting if it's done earlier. I don't know. I don't know how they work it in and make the money still standing booster boxes. But the way it's done right now, I don't know. I don't see the person who's going to buy it. This is the first time they did it, so everybody's like, ooh, I want to buy it. You know, for Hazoret and Chandra, sure. But what happens next time when we get, I don't know, Jara or Jaya? That's the Planeswalker. You know, meh. These sets don't seem to do. I don't know.
I mean, again, if we've learned anything, it's that products are pretty aggressively diverging.
Yes.
And that isn't
the splintering. Magic the splintering is what we are becoming for sure.
It isn't necessarily a bad thing, right?
No, it allows everyone to play in their little pool. I have no problem with that. I think if they were honest. And they just said, hey, guys, we understand that standard, we can't push standard down everyone's throat. It doesn't work anymore. Like, if in the summer for the core set, they came out and just said, guys, we're not going to try to do this anymore. We're going to have a modern focused product release every year that's just for modern. And then maybe we'll do one for Legacy, Vintage, and Commander. Because you can cram a bunch of stuff in there. But something that was for modern that had new cards. We're going to just focus on, like, once a year you get your modern set, bam, sell that at $10 premium. I think that would just fly off the shelves. Put 20 new cards in it. Holy cow, that would just do amazing. And we're still going to make standard, but we're going to make it cheaper, or we're going to do something about standard where it's, I don't know, they get the booster box price down, maybe, because that's really the thing that's causing, it's just expensive for what you get, you know, and then have a bunch of limited products. Or maybe take standard down to 3 sets a year instead of 4. You know? Save your money that way. I could totally
I could see a world, yeah. I mean, considering how much product they release right now, I could see a world where if the profit is still there for the year, they could kind of make an adjustment to how many standard sets they try to jam down our throats. That is possible. I could see that being possible.
Yeah, and then one of the Pro Tours becomes the modern Pro Tour. How about this? How about two Pro Tours a year? Or actually, you know what? You can keep your 4 main, you know, Major League Baseball style stuff, right? It's the big leagues, right? But then why don't they do a secondary circuit for Brawl decks? You know, something like that where it's completely more about the fun. Like, I would 100% watch this if there was an arena tournament that was around Brawl, let's say, and you had the funnest, like Safronov, like just fun, quirky, positive guys that you're not trying to break anything. You're not trying to break the format. You're just trying to go off or create some crazy, like, explosion on screen, right? Like, you've got all the ability to do that and have some fun announcers. Get Brian Kibler back in the game, guys. Oh, my God. Why they don't pay him whatever he wants to bring him back and be the face of Arena? That's what they should do, man. I wonder if he doesn't even want to come back because there's politics. But I'm just saying that would be an interesting way to do it too. They can get some more money, generate some more butter on the side in Arena, and then, you know, you don't need to put the gas so hard on, or you don't need to rely so much on standard being a home run every year. I'll ask you this. Would you rather you get 2 incredibly well-built Innistrads? You know, like twice a year we get a standard set that is just unbelievably detailed in terms of limited strategy, balanced, just it's amazing, versus 4 mediocre ones.
That is actually a harder question than you think.
I know, because you play for volume, there will be downtimes where you're like, I can't play 6 months of this same thing, right? But
now if the sets were slightly larger,
yeah.
So you're looking at maybe like a 450 card set, and then, you know, as long as the limited environment isn't all about the 2/2 evasion guys for 2, it could be done.
Well, think about this. They're increased the testing staff, and I would imagine, like, if you had double the time, pretty sure they could make sure limited was pretty tuned, right? Like, that's double the time to do it. I imagine it would be better. I don't know how the standard environment would run, because it would probably get stale too quickly. I don't know. Maybe you release it. Maybe you design the set as, like a back-to-back movie, right? Where you design two blocks at once at the same time, get them tweaked, then you cut it in half.
I mean, that's
probably you can't. Now that I think about it,
that's kind of how two-set block works in a way. I know. Kind of go back to the drawing board on that. Yeah, and again, you know, Dominaria is not even here yet, but as long as the limited environment holds up, I'm going to be sad that when Dominaria leaves us, that we only get, you know, kind of a one shot of it.
Is that confirmed? I think it is, right? Because we're going Corset right after this.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like 100%. I
imagine it is, because they're too scared. You know, they want to test it. If it tests through the roof, we'll be back in 2 years. My big prediction has always been we're going to Ravnica in September. So,
Wow. Yeah, you love that Ravnica.
I don't. In fact, I don't want to go back. I think it's too soon, and I would rather not. I'm just like, Mark Rosewater made an interesting comment on Kamigawa on Blogatalk. I'm sure you've read it. And he's like, guys, stop asking for me to go back to Kamigawa. And he's like, here's how it goes. I walk in, and the powers that be say, why do you want us to go back to Kamigawa? And he's like, because a lot of people keep asking me to. And they're like, does anyone actually want to go back? He's like, no. Was it a good set? No. Oh, then no. Like, I get it. From a Vorthos, I'd love to see them take a new crack at it. But if you watch him on Twitter, Innistrad, Return of Ravnica, these are the sets that keep showing up at the top of his dumb challenges. So it's pretty easy to see that we're going back there. I would prefer not to, but I don't know. It's
maybe
a fun
hey
set.
You know plot fun twist. Dominaria has melded with Ravnica, and now you've got Teferi trying to figure out which political party he's going to join. And
oh, see, now you've got me interested. Okay, see, if the story's there, I'm down. That sounds cool.
It's so stupid.
No, it isn't. It's awesome. If you tell the right story, I'm down for any world.
That's what's so great. That's why you had an 18-month raging hard on for Theros. Those cards were so
no,
bad.
No, I didn't. Theros just was... Okay, Theros actually was marketed very well. You know, that was the Greek set. Like, and it hit a home run in terms of what the visual was. It was not bad. It just got boring because it was a three block. If they had only done two...
Okay. If you'd just done it once, it would have been like, yes. All right.
Yeah, hey, man.
I don't know.
Look, I think you would like this more, and I think if you're about getting your quarterly draft fix, I'm sure you get tired, but I know you like the theme too. So if they just hit four one-offs, I don't know, I'm down for that test. I wouldn't mind seeing that year roll out. Give me four different worlds, four completely different strategies, everything. Just throw some wacky shit at me. I'm down.
I think the biggest takeaway here is that between Arena and between the things of like Brawl's nature and the other factor being, you know, how Masters and supplementals in general that aren't like one-off dual decks have had such an impact on the game over the course of a calendar year, that we may be able to see a shift from the more traditional set release in terms of what their profit per quarter looks like. And sure. I think that, you know, it's even hard to say if that would be healthier for Standard or not. Because, you know, we've at this point, we've been having this conversation for so long. It's like faster rotation, slower rotation, more sets, fewer sets. And well, no matter what you
everything.
Do. Yeah, no matter what you do, it's not like people have been like, oh, we've got it perfect. This is perfect. Oh, don't touch it.
Well, that's not true. So, every time the full spoiler's out for 1 week, everyone says Standard's great. And then people go play the decks and realize there's only three, and there's not 12.
Finally, Siege Rhino's dead. Finally, we did it, guys. Congratulations. No. Try
it's okay.
Again.
Thragtusk 2.0 is waiting. Like, there's always going to be that card because that's how the environment is built. The standard metagames will find the best cards, and then you'll get sick of them. That's just the rotational factor that we're in.
And with that in mind, adding or removing some sets from the year's worth of cards shouldn't be that big of a deal.
No.
So yeah, give it a shot.
Now let's wrap up the show on probably the most ludicrous. I don't even want to waste. Honestly, I could cut the segment. I could just cut it out because it's so. It's
wow!
Insane.
What a tease! But, what a tease!
No, because this is... I saw this.
To be fair, I don't even know what he's talking about. Yet,
oh, so bull crap! You know exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about Handshake Gate, But ooh, I don't want to waste a lot of time. All right,
that's the way you want to go. You want to talk about sportsmanship in Magic the Gathering.
Okay, let's just very clearly say one thing. The pros disagree on when and if you should handshake. Off the top of the bat, there's going to be a quick segment. This is ludicrous. This is the silliest thing. If just be nice and shake the person's hand. Now, you were more in the pro scene than I was, and you've seen the more alpha kind of...
Oh, I've seen some salty dogs in my day, my friend.
So what's the issue? Because to me, this is like 2 4-year-olds in a playground. I can't even relate to what the issue is. So tell me what I'm missing here. As the exasperated sigh just goes in the background. There isn't anything. Cue the music. Roll out.
No, it's not. I wish it were.
I get that there's egos. Okay. But if you beat me, you beat me. What's wrong with shaking my hand? Like, I don't know. Okay,
it's too simple.
Okay, let's play the analogy that just happened, okay? Olympic medal. Dude got silver, right? Canada gets silver. I can't remember. Yeah, was it something like that? Someone got a silver and they were pissed off and wouldn't put their medal on. That was our own.
That was definitely a Canadian.
Yeah. But and I understand that, man. So if this is why the handshake exists, I understand at some point. Why the Canadian did that is you literally, that's your life since you were 5 years old. And you've put thousands, if not tens of thousands of hours into it. You have a singular goal. You're not there to enjoy the game. You're there to win at that level. I don't play hockey like that. And not everyone Canadian does. But when you're in that, the machine to generate you a shot at the NHL, that's the way a lot of people approach it. So maybe that's the way the Pro Tour is, right? Like, you're there to win. And if you don't, you're salty. I don't think the hockey player was so much salty as he was just unsatisfied with the fact that he didn't want a silver. So
she was a lady.
Sorry. She was a lady. But the point is, the handshake argument on Twitter didn't seem to come from that angle. It was more about, ego, maybe, that like a worse player. Like if player I view with a lower score than me, you know, or ELO score, whatever it is, like, I wouldn't shake his hand because, you know,
it's unilaterally stupid, and the fact that people had to have a discussion about it just shows how stupid and childish this entire community is. That's the bottom line. If you want me to throw more salt on this wound, though, I will I will only throw it on in this fashion. Okay. The only time I don't want to shake someone's hand at a Magic the Gathering match is because I think they are so gross and vile that they have not showered, and that by touching them, I may get some kind of chemical disease.
Okay. I will end this with a slight antidote. Antidote? No, antidote.
I mean, you can try to antidote it if you'd like.
No. Well, you can. So a few people know that I have like an allergic reaction to peanut butter. I am hyper allergic to it. Shit, right? Like I should carry an EpiPen. That's how dangerous it is. I was at some GP, Cambridge or something, way back in the days, small town bullshit, and I just went there to walk around, and I was sitting down, and we were looking through this guy's cards, right? And he's like, oh, you should check out my deck. I'm like, that sounds cool. Now, the guy is eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, okay? And the guy has horrible hygiene, just already there, which, okay, great, I can breathe out of the side of my mouth, but he's eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he's got fucking peanut butter all over his hands. And he's, with his finger, he's going around the inside of this little bag like and sucking his finger. And he hands me the deck. And there's gobs of peanut butter on the sleeves. And so I just put my hand up and say, that's cool. And he was so offended. Like, he's like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, dude, I don't want to touch your deck if there's peanut butter on it. He's like, what? It's just peanut butter. So it was just one of those scenarios of like, I get it. There's a hygiene area where you have a right to refusal. But from a sportsmanship area, I don't know. I'll pull my sleeve over my hand and I'll still shake your hand. So we don't have to actually touch. But I do want to congratulate you for winning the match, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely have played enough Magic where I feel like a considerably more inferior player who is probably socially borderline special needs, who also may look or smell like they belong in a dungeon.
Wow.
Has won a match off of me, and that was extraordinarily frustrating. But, you know, I would still be cordial with that person in the moment at the very least.
Wow. You know, the fact that you're describing the one time I beat you in cube like this is... I'm absolutely insulted. Just... gross. Anyways, that's the hustle, folks. I'm not sure what the deal with the pearls are, but it's not important. What is it? And on the hype.
Again, I can't believe you even lent time and energy to discussing it.
That you asked me to put it in there. Dude, if I...
I see.
You hashtag handshake-gated this thing.
I see where this comes from now. Sorry.
Were you trolling? Was that whole thing a troll?
I was.
So this whole... Okay, so my whole show notes... Sorry, we have to do the episode again because I based this all around a troll. Fuck you, man. You always get me with that shit. Motherfucker.
That's good stuff.
It's good stuff, eh? Well, not when it's an hour of garbage no one wanted to listen to.
You've described the show.
That's every podcast. I'm just kidding. It isn't. It's only ours. Oh, man. All right, dude. Well, next week we'll try to do this again.
Magic is only going to get more exciting from here through the summer. Are you going to pre-release? Is
that I'm going to try. This set looks really fun, so 100% going to try to get out.
How's life over at Face to Face Toronto?
Oh, dude, I haven't been there in forever. I've literally done nothing. I've been in my bubble working my ass off for the past, I don't know, 4 months.
Maybe if the kids are lucky, they'll get a special appearance from famous Matty Studios. Oh, yeah.
No one even cares. No one even cares I'm there anymore. What are you talking about?
What happened to the days of featured guest Matty Studios?
That you know what you have to have a podcast that comes out regularly for that. That's what I realized. Oh, and you also have to have Kevin Metal, because if you don't, no one cares.
All right then. We'll work on that one of these days.
I talked to Kevy. He says he's always hyped for it, but then he's like, I have no time. So
yes, it's true. He's
we're all in that.
He's a father. And
yeah.
I don't know. Just because you are too, you can get away with saying that.
Yeah, I know, right? Thanks. Yeah, I'm a father, but I don't care about my kids.
I didn't care. You're putting words in my mouth there, sir.
I'm joking. No, my kids are older now, so it's like less a thing. I've got to buy a laptop for my daughter, actually. That's what I got to do. Oh, my God. Crazy, man. Crazy. I don't know. I'm going to try to have more time.
You know, don't hold this to us, audience. But let's try this again next week for these six people that could possibly even try to hold this to us.
Oh, I think there was actually 7 likes. So there could. I think our audience is growing. Just saying.
You know, more power on you. That's shout right. out to Robot Large and Proxy Guy. You know,
let's keep it alive. Now, that was nice. That was a little. I felt rosy inside with that. Shout out to Robot Large. He doesn't listen anymore. But you know what, Mike? If you are, I love you. And if you're not, fuck you, man. Why don't you listen to my show, man? I love it. I love it. We got to grow the old guys again. I still see, the occasional hashtag heavy meta out there, and I'm just like, yes, it's not dead yet. There's like 3 people still wearing stuff.
Las Vegas 2019, man.
Is there?
I mean, I don't give. There is if we make it. You know, it's Field of Dreams, this shit. I finally drove by Topgolf when I was there last week.
It wasn't worth it. It was so expensive. I got home and I got the bill from that thing. Whoa, that was like $1,000 for 2 hours.
So I didn't realize it was open your credit card and then we'll talk about it later type situation. But how did they get you?
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. We asked for water. And they brought us a case of Fiji water. And I was like, wow, we get free Fiji water? This is awesome. And it's like, no, those are $8 each. But they didn't tell us that until we drunk them all. Yeah, and there's a $180 an hour fee or something. Everything was expensive there. It was crazy. I was just like, look, guys, let's do something fun. Like a moron. I was like, here's my credit card and, you know, whatever. Everybody give me like $50 or something. And then I didn't realize until I got home. I was like, holy crap, that was expensive. But whatever, it was a one-time thing. It was all good. Besides, it was a business meeting.
Right.
A lot of business was being talked there.
All of our listeners know that they should schedule a business meeting next year, and we should all...
See?
We should go... we should catch... we'll try to catch Las Vegas versus Montreal. That would be nice.
Ooh. See, that would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
A hockey game would be very fun.
It's easy to root against the villains.
Which ones? No, I'm just kidding. We would totally be rooting for Vegas to crush the villains. But anyways, you know.
All of my L.A. friends are like, oh, you don't want to go to the Staples or whatever? It's like, dude, I fucking hate Staples. But I was like, but if the Canadians are playing, I'll go with you.
Just to boo them, right?
Exactly.
And they're like, why is this guy so upset about the? I thought you were Canadian, man. Dude, yeah, you don't understand.
It just adds to the fire.
The mystery.
Yeah. We'll flush this out more as the year goes. We've got plenty of time, but... Let's start by small baby steps. Baby steps to next Sunday.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Because we're like that now. See you later, folks. Have a good one. All right, buddy. That was awesome. Good one.
$800 for Topgolf? That sounds ridiculous.
It was $1,000, man. Yeah, it was great because I looked at it and I was like, $1,000? My credit card got hacked. And then I was like looking back and I'm like, well, hold a minute, the receipt. I'm like, how am I? I'll just check. And I was like, oh my God. We ordered I think what? A couple of wings, some beers, 2 rounds of beers, wings and water and golf for 2 hours. So, although the waitress was gorgeous. So whatever that means.
You made up for it a little bit.